Welcome to the MMA Roadshow, episode number 475. My name is John Morgan, and Cole Coffee is with me as we're posted up just outside of the Strong Coffee Gym.
You can call me Swole Coffee now.
Swole Coffee.
I just kidding. Don't call me that.
I love it, man.
I haven't earned that one yet.
I made it over here. I made it past security. I talked to the staff. Yep. I checked in with everybody. They're doing great.
That's awesome.
Everybody told me to send their regards to you. They say they don't see you very much because you're not among the people.
I don't make it that far out on the property.
I made it past them. I got in, finally checked in with you at the Swole Coffee Gym over here. And you're talking to me about equipment that's being delivered and maybe some arrangements that's being made. Might have to up your dues on some of the members that are coming over here.
No, these motherfuckers are getting it way too cheap. Way too cheap.
I love it, man. But that's good, dude. Sticking with it, putting it in the grind, and building your gym out over here, man.
I'm telling you. And then, you know, just putting myself out there. I did that Instagram. I don't know if you saw it.
I did the Instagram
the other day. And it's funny because I got to, and then anybody hasn't seen it, so I did like the shirtless flex. I was doing it for myself because I mainly wanted to see like the growth and stuff, and I was like, I should put this out there. Another side of me was like, don't put it out there. Another side was like, who fucking cares? I was like, put it out there and maybe somebody will get something from it. And I had some buddies, because then we had to do the Monday radio show at Spinning Backlick,
right,
which you're all too familiar with.
I recall.
And George was like, are you sure you wanted to put that out? I was like, you know, I thought about it, and I was like, I thought about pulling it back, but then I said, no, I don't want to put out, because if anything, it puts fire in me, because then I look at it and say, I can't lie to myself. I can't look and say, oh, in my head, I'm good, and no matter what anybody else says, you know, like, I'm just going to believe what I see in the mirror. And it's but when you don't put it out there and you kind of step back and look, like, and then actually see what others are thinking about it and what others are seeing, it's easy to kind of deceive yourself. So when I put it out there, I look at it, and of course it's kind of embarrassing, it's kind of awkward, but it's also like a piece of history of like this moment right now. Can't take it back, but also it motivates me, because I'm like, all right, now I see that. Now I want to do something about it, you know?
Like it, man.
And there's no – it's like
– I respect it.
You know, and that's it, you know.
I respect
it's
holding yourself accountable.
It was embarrassing as shit, but then it's just like, I don't fucking care, you know, because I want to put another one out in like 6 months and see if there's a difference. And if there isn't, then I'm not doing the work. I'm either not dieting right, I'm not doing cardio, or I'm just fucking one of these guys that says, I'm working out, trust me. And you never see anything about it. Like, I don't want to be that way. So if anything else, I just put myself on blast. I was like, all right, here it is now. Let's see what you do with it from then.
Much respect,
and it's been
bro.
Great. You know, I've been getting a lot of good feedback from, you know, people that I care about. You know, I haven't seen any of the normal trolls that you would. It's just been like actual people that I feel like care about my well-being.
That's
like
awesome.
Checking and just saying like, dude, keep it up. Keep going. And that's all.
Much respect,
and that's
dude.
All it is. So
much respect to you,
yeah,
man.
Yeah. So I was telling John, you know, when I bought the squat rack, yes, I have a squat rack in the home gym, I didn't buy the pulley system that attaches to it, so you could do like lat pull downs and like tricep push downs and all the other kind of stuff. I was like, I don't need this. And then when I didn't get it, you know, I was like, oh, I really need this. So then I went ahead and ordered it. So it's coming today. So I'm going to put it together, and hopefully I'll be able to do that a little later on.
Bro, pretty soon, like, you're going to have to bring your trash cans, like, in here.
I hate
you
know it. Like, and that's, like, I can't leave them out front because the HOA says you can't leave your trash cans outside. So I pull them in the garage, and I put them off the side. So, yeah, I'm doing this video. I didn't post it yesterday. I was doing some, a workout where I was doing, like, Romanian, like, deadlifts and other stuff.
Oh, yeah, of course.
And on the background, there's the fucking trash
cans. I'm more of a Bulgarian,
Bulgarian
lift kind of guy. But if you're a Romanian lift dude, I get it.
And, like, there's the trash cans in the background. I was like, I can see where somebody's like, what the hell is that? Like, bro, choose your background. And it's like, it is what it is.
I mean, what would you know about visual composition of a video, though?
I mean, I'm just like, bro, I'm just trying to get it in.
That's awesome, man.
Yeah, so.
Well, kudos to you for sticking to it. And putting on the grind, man. And, yeah, I respect it. So it is fight week in Las Vegas. First of all, I guess I should say it is the first day of May. So
yes.
I always love April and October. But May's not bad here. It is warming up a little bit
in Las Vegas.
It is my son's birthday month as well. It is
like a birthday month.
Well, it's coming up. And it is – well, this year I'm double like – strapped for demands,
because
it's my son's birthday is legitimately on Mother's Day. Yeah, so May 12th is my son's birthday. So this year they're falling on the same day. So I've got a little surprise planned for both of them on that Sunday. We're actually doing his party on May the 11th. So I don't know how I don't think
B-dubs?
I'm going to overlap.
I'm going to guess B-dubs.
It's not my party.
Isn't that how it works out? You always try to make the party so that it works for you.
You know what sounds great, son? That I would really.
You ever been to this place called B-dubs?
We're actually doing. We're gonna do bowling at Red Rock.
Oh, that sounds awesome.
But I told my wife, I was like, let's do it on Saturday, the day before, because I just don't think you can do Mother's Day and then invite people to come out, right? Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, hey, come to our birthday party. I know you want to take care of your wife on Mother's Day and your mom and your grandma. Like, but hey, come to our birthday party.
Well, and it's nice to separate it too, because I think they both probably want it, because you guys both want to spoil Eli, which you guys do a great job of spoiling Eli, but then you also want to spoil her.
Exactly.
And it's like, if you put them together, it's kind of like, babe, trust me, you're gonna have your part of the day. Your part of the day.
This hour is for you.
Yeah. Well, and she gets so, you know, focused on Eli, I think she wouldn't want to put any focus
That's
on herself, and she would probably not allow herself to get what she deserves.
True.
So I think you're doing it right by separating.
There we go. So it's a big month here. It's a big month.
Yeah, you old daddy O's spending on that weekend. Bowling sounds fun though.
Yeah. We're gonna just do Red Rock Lanes. I don't know why my son's I don't want to say obsession with bowling, but he's like, can we go bowling? And he likes bowling.
He's like, there's one sport I haven't done yet. Yeah. I do all the other ones actively.
I do everything else. I think he started playing it in like VR or whatever. Yeah. And so because of VR,
he
wanted
to play
it in real life.
Is his arm going to be good for it?
Yeah, his arm doesn't. It can move. It just can't hit anything. Like it. So he's. It doesn't hurt. Well, that's actually a good
point. It's going to be a big
strain
because he put it. It's a weighted. Jeez, it's a weighted ball.
I didn't even think about that. Oh, good point.
You might want to. I didn't even think about it either. But I was like, maybe it's not the same
Man,
arm.
No, it is. Good point. I actually need to bring that up. Now I got something to do after the podcast. I got my afternoon plans.
Well,
settled.
I guess I've ruined that.
Guess change of plans. All right, it is fight week here in Las Vegas, but not here in Vegas. Well, there is fight week in Las Vegas, but it's a Canelo fight. So it's big. I know. It's not
What's
something
that
will.
Oh, who's that guy he's fighting? I'm just kidding. Boxing's all good. But who's that guy? You know, I just happened to see a video. What's his name? Don't look it up. What's his name?
Jaime Mejia.
Oh, well, fuck it. You guessed. Yeah. You got it. I was going to say, there's no way you could get it.
No, it's funny.
I didn't even recognize the dude.
I did know the name. I'll be honest with you. I don't know a lot about his track record. I just do know, we readily admit we have no issue with boxing. We just don't follow boxing.
No.
Because guess what?
Certainly know who Canelo is.
Guess what we're doing most Saturday nights. You know what I mean? So it's we don't get a chance to really watch it. But I did see. I think there's a lot of tension between Canelo and Oscar De La Hoya.
Yeah.
Because De La Hoya is Mejia's promoter, and of course, is a former promoter of Canelo.
Kind of like got their history.
So that's adding a little flavor to fight week. So if you're looking for a little promoter fighter beef, I guess you had that there.
Oscar have beef with lately?
Pretty much everybody.
I know.
He's fighting with everybody.
He is back on top of just, you know, trying to get in people's face. I felt like for a while there, he sort of quieted down. You didn't really hear anything. And then just all of a sudden lately, man, he's just...
He was trying to be the kinder, gentler golden boy, but not anymore.
I suppose.
Not anymore. Talons out. So that look, it is. I will say, in Las Vegas, Canelo fight weeks are a pretty big deal, man.
Yeah.
The town comes alive. It's one of those things where people come into town that don't even have tickets, right? Because he's such a national hero. And
yeah,
it's,
those grand arrivals are crazy.
You've covered some of those, right?
Yeah.
Those are nuts.
Because the people can actually get there and see like their stars, and they're literally within feet, and they just go crazy, and it's madness.
Yeah,
it's absolutely madness. Because if anybody's been through like a lot of like the MGM lobbies and all this other, it's not a big space, but they literally crowd thousands of people into the thing.
It's so
crazy.
Small, you can hit somebody in the head with a shoe if you do it.
Yeah, if you throw a shoe, you might actually hit somebody in the head.
little John Jones, Daniel Cormier reference right there. Think about the MGM lobby. That's where that happened, of course. But yeah, so big fight week here. But of course, the real fight week for the UFC is down in Brazil. UFC 301 this week. We'll talk about that a little bit. I will say, I got to be honest with you. I'm getting a little bit of regret that I didn't pull the trigger on going down there, man. Because first and foremost, I think this flyweight title fight is a lot more intriguing than people want to give it credit for. I get why maybe people aren't so stirred about it. You know, it's not Pantoja isn't a big talker. Steve Ercig is new to the UFC, doesn't have a long history. So I get why. But I think stylistically it should be a really fun fight. Be honest, the love in my heart is I'm bummed I'm kind of missing the Jose Aldo fight, you know, which by all intents and purposes seems like it should be his last one for the UFC. And I wish I was down there. But also, just the thought of being on the beach in a plastic chair with a $1 ice cold original and a little glass pouring out, or a bucket of them. Yeah. What am I talking about? Unoriginal. I'm saying one in a hand and five on the side, ready to go over here. That does sound pretty nice right now, man. There is. Yeah. I know that. You know, Rio, like any place, has its challenges as a city. But man, that place has gorgeous beaches and ice cold beers, man. And it's fun to sit out there and watch the sun come up. So I kind of miss going down there.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, because it's like all these magical moments, and then, you know, it's the whole juxtaposition against the fact that, you know, you could go half a mile in or even less than that from the beach, and it's complete just poverty, what feels like poverty levels, and then you go near the beach, you're just like, how is this even connected?
So true.
It doesn't make any sense.
The first time we drove through a favela, like the first time I was in Brazil and the first time I went through a favela, like, it made me adjust my understanding of what poverty is. And 100%. You know what I mean? And I've been through some sketchy places in the United States, you know what I mean, where I'm like, whoa, you know, didn't, you know, but I saw that and I was like, oh.
It's crazy. I mean, it is one of the most beautiful places in the world. It literally feels like a magical sort of place. You look around, everything is greener and the people are beautiful and the food's good and the water, and then you turn a corner and you're just like, whoa, you know, where's the fancy paint that covers all this madness? But it's definitely one of those places, and I know a lot of the cats that were going down there for the first time were very excited, and I saw some clips of them taking shots with their camera and stuff, and I'm like, dude, enjoy it. And I was like, then put your camera away and go back out. You know, I don't know if you saw it.
Hey, not be mean, but that's true.
It's true.
No,
I'm not joking. I mean, I just say this, you know, because especially, like, it's one thing in the summer when there's a lot of people, and then a lot of times when it's winter and during the evening, it gets very different. You know, there's less people on the street, so you have the more potential of people doing shady shit and nobody's around to stop it or report it or say anything or whatever. But in the embedded, there was a point where Ersig and them were out in front of, like, at night, like, I want to say it was either on the parking lot of, like, the hotel or whatever. Even when they used to say there was security in the park, and they park a car. It wasn't like there was real security. But they were outside, like, hitting mitts and, like, practicing, like, later in the evening. I was just like, that's not a good idea. I was like, you might be out in front of the UFC parking lot. I was like, but nobody's really going to stop anything, you know, like, it's just crazy.
But
it's a beautiful, magical place down there. I mean, the people are really, really cool. You can have great times. And even though, like, right before the trip, you saw the news that talked about the police were raiding a big one of the favelas or something. It was this big battle with crime or whatever, and it was just very scary images. But that stuff to them down there happens all the time, and I just tell people, like, don't let that stop you from taking the chance to experience it, because I mean, crazy shit can happen anywhere. Right now, in any campus in America, there's crazy shit popping off. So when you think of Brazil, you know, and if you have the potential to go down there, it's definitely worth it. But you just gotta be smart, you know.
Somebody ate somebody's face on the street here in Las Vegas the other day.
Like, somebody fucking
this past week
was eating their face. Like,
what the fuck?
Like, it's ridiculous. And then people wonder why I want to carry when I go around.
Ah, yeah, good. You know? Nobody's eating your face.
The zombies is out.
I'm shooting them.
So, it's a magical place. I mean, it's cool. It's funny to see some of the Brazilians talking. Who is it? I don't know if you saw the media day, but because a lot of the reports or the interviews haven't came out, but one of them was Pantoja was on there kind of kidding on how Ersig looked, because he said, oh, he looks like one of these regular
tourists
that you see down here. He's like, look at him. He's like, you're going to fit in real good over at Copacabana or something like that, just teasing on him. And I'm like, bro, you want people to come. And he did sort of say it like, hey, it's beautiful down here, for real, you know, come visit or whatever. I was like, they're not going to come visit if you're going to crack on all the tourists what they're wearing.
In fairness, he did show up to the face off the other day wearing, like, the blue button down or whatever. I saw that. It was pretty funny. It was good. All right, listen, before we talk about 301, we won't dig deep into that. As we said, we know it's not necessarily the most heavily anticipated pay-per-view of all time, and we're, of course, not on scene. Although I will say, I think the fights, the main card especially, is better than people are giving it credit for. I think it's going to be
good names on.
Yeah, I think
sure.
It's going to be exciting. I think there's going to be some fun matches on there. But I did want to get your take on the Nevada State Athletic Commission meeting this weekend, because it was very intriguing. Now, I'll lay this out for you, because there were three different suspensions slash fines that were discussed, right? Two of them stemming from
three
UFC
very different
300
things that happened.
For three very different things. Yeah, and I found it intriguing because I wanted to get your take. Now, first of all, I did see some headlines out there that the NSAC issued fines. It should be, for the record, noted they have not issued a fine yet in any of these situations, actually. They withheld purses or part of purses in every single situation. That money is basically being held in escrow until a decision is made, at which point then it's finalized. Then a fine has actually been issued. But it is important if you're trying to get the record straight and being factual about this stuff. Nothing has been decided just yet. So the one that wasn't stemming from UFC 300 was, of course, Igor Severino, who at UFC on ESPN 53 in March bit his opponent, Andre Lima, and was disqualified. A case was up for discussion, and interesting to note, they had actually agreed to a settlement of he was going to be suspended 6 months, he was going to be fined $3,000 of his $10,000 purse, and also administrative fees of $314.08. So $33,14.08 was going to be his fine. At which point, it was brought up by Commissioner Marnell. Listen, this thing was done. The Attorney General had already got the agreement drawn up. Everything was good to go. Igor Severino and his team had agreed to it. It was basically just like, hey, we just need you guys commissioned to sign off on it, and we're good to go. And at that point, Commissioner Marnell said, you know what? What's a precedent in this case? And the Attorney General said, well, to be honest with you, we really don't have a lot of precedent. You don't see a lot of biting in MMA fights. He's like, I guess you could go back to Tyson or something, but you know that was multiple incidents and you know a different scenario entirely. He's like, we really didn't have anything. And so Commissioner Marnell said, you know, well, how did you come up with the idea? He's like, well, we looked at kind of other situations where people had done stuff that was wrong, and we figured 6 months. And he said, listen, I'll let you guys vote how you want to vote, but let me point out to you that if we set this as a precedent, then when this happens again, if it happens again, hopefully it doesn't, that person is automatically going to get 6 months as well. And I got to be honest with you, I don't feel like 6 months is enough. I feel like maybe a year. Now, they did point out, well, Commissioner, the UFC did cut the guy, so he's no longer in the UFC. And he said, we're not going to make our decisions based on what the UFC does. That has no bearing or no implication. I think to the commission, and rightfully so, they're like, look, the highest paying gig out there, he just lost it. So if we're going to suspend him 6 months, even if he comes back in 6 months, you know, he's going to have to go fight on the regional scene. He's going to be making a third or a quarter of what he was making in the UFC, if that. And Commissioner Marnell, rightly so, said, yeah, but what happens when it's a big star? You know what I mean? They're not going to cut that guy. They'll make a way. So I don't think 6 months is enough. So that was shelved. That was tabled. They'll come back and they'll talk about it in May. Then you have the two from UFC 300. Of course, Armin Sarukin. $31,600 out of his $158,000 purse was withheld for the pre-fight incident in which he swung at a fan. That's 20% of the purse that he made that night. Meanwhile, Diego Lopez, $5,000 from his $100,000 purse for exiting the cage following his win at UFC 300.
That one was just fucking ridiculous.
All right, so that I guess that's why I want to get your take on this, right?
That one was so freaking stupid.
Okay, so we're going to start with Diego Lopez.
Stupid.
Dumb.
That was just – we've seen much worse things, you know, like that. He literally hopped over and walked straight ahead to just the president of the company who was happened to be right next
right.
to Mark Zuckerberg.
Right.
And, like, yes, he went over the cage. And there's clearly they can say, okay, this was whatever. We're going to do whatever. But, bro, it happens all the time where people have jumped on the cage or done other particular stuff. I just felt like this was just them flexing to flex.
I felt this one was overreaching as well. Yeah. And if you look at it, when he goes up on the cage, he actually looks at Dana and asks, like, can I, like, give him the sign?
Before he does it, he sort of does a point where he says, like, I'm coming.
Yep.
Like, that was him. I'm coming. I'm coming.
Whoa,
you know?
Pause. But, you know,
Dana, I'm coming.
But he did, and Dana said yes. And Jeff Mullen actually, and I had heard this to be the case, but Jeff Mullen actually put it on record that Dana immediately, as soon as he jumped out of the cage, Dana was like, I'll pay his fine, like right there.
Yeah.
And so I've heard behind the scenes that Dana does have every intention of paying the fine himself. So
yeah.
Diego's not going to be fined at all.
Diego actually said, like, thank you. Because,
right.
like, it got said out, and then I saw that he replied to one of the junkie tweets or whatever, saying like thank you, boss," or whatever. So I thought that was pretty cool.
It sounds like it's
but
in
I
the
just
clear.
Felt like
no, listen.
If the commission didn't say anything at all about that particular instance, who would have ever said anything like, nobody. Oh, that – and you guys remember that time when Diego hopped out to say something to the president?
And I do want to point out, there is a reason that they care about people leaving the cage, right? I mean, look no further than Khabib Nurmagomedov, right?
Yeah.
To incidents that they don't want people leaving the cage. They especially don't want people leaving the cage where it could potentially spill into the stands, right? And then you have real problems in the audience. And so that's – like, there's a reason they're looking out for what they're looking out for. But, yeah, I'm just going to say it. I think this is completely unnecessary. Had he tried to incite something in the fans? Had he tried to engage with the fans?
I was going to say, if he maybe even engage with the fans?
Even just a gesture.
He didn't touch a fan.
He just went and talked to the boss and Zuckerberg. I think this is unnecessary.
Yeah.
Unnecessary.
And I'm not even sure he actually even said anything to Zuckerberg. I think Zuckerberg was just kind of like, whoa, you know, right there. And Diego did his thing, and then he hopped back into the cage. I didn't appreciate that. I get it why they did it. I'm glad that Dana said something to me, knowing that, hey, at least that he had the forethought to be like, okay, they're obviously going to fine this kid for doing it. You know, I'll take care of it or whatever. But it just felt like we've seen people hop on the cage. You're not supposed to do that. They don't fine them.
Right.
Okay, so this one just happened to go over, even though, yeah, you know, I don't know.
And the reason, obviously, for hopping on the cage, there's structural integrity of the cage, which is dumb, but it is true. If somebody scales the cage and the fence is broken, then we got to cancel the rest of the event.
Yeah,
you're gonna have some problems, right?
Yeah, and then you know if they go up and you know maybe they do a backflip off it, you know there's the potential there. They're not finding anybody for jumping up there and doing a backflip off of it.
Right.
And we've seen that multiple times. It's just it is what it is. But that one I just felt like
I'm with you. I understand the logic behind the reason they don't want people scaling the cage and leaving the cage, but I think this was unnecessary. Good to know that Dana White is going to pay for Diego Lopez's fine. And hey, how about the fact that Diego's making $100K already?
I wasn't paying attention to that until when you said that right there. I was like, so I was figuring five. I was like, oh man, what's he making? Like 50? I was like, and even that was like, they like this kid. Maybe he is making 50, 50. Dude, good for him.
Good for him, man.
Like he's worked it out, man. The one I just think is, you know, and before we talk about the Sarukian one, the Severino one, you know, and it's just the speed of how the commission works. I understand if they're coming to this meeting that just happened, which was April 30th was the last meeting. He had his event that he did this on was
in March.
March 23rd. There was a commission meeting on the 30th.
Right.
They could have easily had brought it up on that meeting and talked about it and said, hey, you know, what is the, you know, hey, Attorney General, if you're going to go and start talking this, you know, what we really need you to look at is the potential of what this is going to set.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that this is happening 30 days later when all the agreements are made that now Marnell gets involved and says, well, hey, you know, this is going to be used in the future. Let's go back. I'm like, what the fuck did you guys do it the last time?
That's a fair point.
It's just their speed and how slow they are on the process. I appreciated what he was trying to do, but why the heck didn't that happen at your last meeting?
It did seem – because I think his point is fair, but it does seem right. Like, hold on,
it
man.
It just feels like why wasn't he involved?
Agreement. Like, we're here with an agreement.
Yeah.
It's like
where was the commission at, you know, in that part? That whole part right up there.
It reminds me of like going to buy a house or something, and you've got all the paperwork's there. It just needs to be signed. They're like, oh, by the way, need this and this and this from you and that. And they're like, well, I thought we had a deal.
The thing. This happens so many times where people come up there and the deals are made. When the attorney general has it, you very rarely ever see the commission push back because all the work's been done. It just, to me, I take that as a glaring that the commission didn't do what it was supposed to do. If they thought that there was the potential of what the ramifications were going to be, then do your work when this was first assigned to the attorney general. Why make the lawyers and all them that did all the work and did the research to do stuff, now you're going to put them back and say, go back and do it again? I mean, it's just, I don't know.
Fair point. No,
it's just kind of,
I think
it's just kind of annoying,
point.
You know, but whatever. And again, you know, so to go over to Sarukian.
Well, let me ask you about Severino, because I'm glad you brought up that, because I do think that's rough. What do you think? I'm torn. So listen, I'll peel the curtain back. Part of me, like, here's a guy who, by the way, looked incredibly talented, has been.
Severino?
Yeah. Looked incredibly talented.
Yeah.
Has been remorseful. Like, I mean, I still to this day, I've seen his interviews. I still have no understanding what was going through his mind at that moment. It was the most bizarre thing I've ever seen.
It's not like we're seeing people come out of the woodwork say the kid's. He has a history of biting.
No.
He just literally lost his mind.
He literally lost his mind. So you know, I've seen him. He's been apologetic. Yeah. Like, part of me is like, I kind of want to go to like our matchmaking team at CFFC and be like, hey man, why don't we pay attention to this guy and see when he gets off? You know, when he's not, you know, when he's off of suspension. Like, why don't we offer him a fight? Like, it's a name that people will know, and, yeah. and the kid looks talented, and like maybe he deserves a second chance. And then part of me goes, well, I'm very big on second chances. I'm very big on like not judging people, and I think sometimes I get blamed as being like too soft or too naive or something along those lines. What do you think, is it 6 months or a year, and understanding that precedent is being set?
Yeah.
And what do you think the path back from, like, should he get a fight pass type promotion opportunity that could get him back, or do you think the UFC is going to make him work for years to get back? Like, what would you see?
I mean, I think if he does enough work on the outside, I don't think it's a death sentence for him with the UFC. But again, we've seen Dana hold grudges, you know, with fighters. I don't know if I really saw. I mean, I don't know if there was pure anger in Dana. I know he was very upset and was just shocked, and so he was just like, "Kid's gone" or whatever. As for like 6 months or a year, I mean, I really don't have a problem between either one of them. You know, what if they put a ban? They're putting a ban on him here in Nevada. Most other commissions will agree with that. But exactly. Does that mean he can't fight regionally? He sure can.
He could fit internationally.
And he could find with.
He could get fights in Brazil.
And he can get fights in Brazil. He can get fights whatever. You know, if Tough Enough was enough for him to get some fights and get back onto some of these Fight Pass promotions and start sort of working his way, I think he could potentially get back up there. And if he starts getting fights and he starts to do it emphatically and he becomes an absolute stud, which he looked like he had all the potential to be, I think eventually people will forget about it. It will always be one of those things. But look at fucking Tyson. He had a great fucking history, and then the dude bit off Evander Holyfield's ear, and now does anybody bring it up?
No.
Just as a little aside, they bring up. All we're talking about now is selling
weed edibles.
Dude's selling weed, and now he just got some fucking commission to agree to let him fight in a professional fight against a kid that's like more than half of his age.
Yeah.
I mean, it's ridiculous. So people will forget.
Yeah.
And if you ask me which was worse, what's worse, dude biting his arm or biting some dude's ear off?
Yeah. And that was like multiple warnings and multiple, you know.
I mean, like, it was in a crazy huge event where I could see where everybody was pissed off, blah, 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 blah. So, yes, I think he can get past it. And I think that he has a potential to, to reemerge. And if it's not the UFC, if the UFC decides you had your shot and you just crossed the line that I can't be comfortable bringing you back, maybe the PFL, maybe somebody else. I mean, if the kid's winning somewhere, but he's just going to have to get it somewhere. And I would think a regional group would be more than happy. But what's tough about a lot of these guys is just the cost. I mean, like, if the guy's living in Brazil, nobody regionally in the States is going to fly you in to do anything. He's going to have to either move here and stay in with somebody, do the grind, and then start picking up these shitty fucking pay events to start getting his name out there. Or he's going to have to fight overseas with one of the organizations. And a lot of the organizations over there, they probably don't care.
Right.
You know, like, say one of the Russian organizations or somebody that's just paying out money.
Care.
They don't care. They just want a good fighter.
Yeah.
You know, and the kid
is
good.
You don't have to use your own name if you don't want to. Call yourself whatever you want.
Right.
So the commissions don't know.
So they don't know. You know, he's now Igor.
Yeah.
You know.
Igor Severino. No, we had Fedor Tabarino. What are you talking?
They could just call him Fedor Segarino, and people wouldn't care. It's Fedor. So I think the kid has a way to get back, but it'll take some time. But, 6 months, I think, if it was egregious and the kid's had a history, then maybe a year. But I think 6 months is more than enough to send a message. And the fact that the kid lost his earning potential with the UFC, you know, he it's almost at this point almost like double punishment. You know, granted, it's not because they only punched him the once, but I would like to see the kid again, but I think six months for the commission. But it's just silly if
a year is a lot, man.
You
especially,
know,
especially for a year for a guy that's on a regional pay.
Yeah, and there's no precedent for this. I mean, like, it's always going to be a case-by-case basis. I guarantee if it happens again, they're not just going to say, well, we gave him 6 months before. You have to get 6 months because the guy's going to come in with a better lawyer and it's somebody else that's going to know somebody and he's going to woo him over and he's going to be like, I'm going to go to a community service that 100%. Deals with kids and I'm going to do this. And I'm also, I'm taking my own money and I'm going to pay to set up this charity thing. everything here. And I think that, you know, blah, 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 we should show remorse. And I'm going to petition that I can get, you know, less than 6 months, but I understand if it's 6 months, but, you know, the amount of money, or just say, take all the money. And let me fight back in 3 months. You know, I understand what I did was wrong, so let's just erase that. I'm going to do the good things. And they do stuff all the time. They plea bargain, all that stuff. I mean, when you watch half the people up, they all have, like, legal backgrounds. Remember when we used to go to some of those?
Oh, yeah.
I felt like we were attending
court. Felt like trials.
Court system. And then you'd hear sometimes where the lawyers then on the outside would say, like, you know, you'd hear it almost from both sides, like, well, you know, this is not actually a court of law, you know, what's going so on, you know, because you'd hear the commission say that to lawyers that were trying to defend people. And then you would kind of hear it from lawyers saying, spitting that,
like,
back
to
the commission.
This is a public hearing, not a trial.
Yeah, like, what is going on here? So I feel bad that what he's sort of getting, because I felt like for them to already have an agreement made, I felt like he was able to kind of move forward and start working on the steps. And I feel now that just got set back, and it just makes me feel bad for the kid, because I don't think he is a bad kid. I think he made a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
I just, you know, and he's already not going to get any money from this event.
And
you
he's
know?
21.
You know how much that means for
oh my God.
You know, for
10,000 US goes a long way
yeah.
in Brazil, man.
Yeah.
A long way for a 21-year-old trying to make it.
Yeah. And as for Sarukian, I mean, I don't really have any remorse. I mean, from anything that I saw, I didn't see anything that would make him want to swing at somebody. I think he gets what he deserves on that one.
I was going to say, as much as I hate to say
he
it.
He made decent money. I'm not mad for what they're
I
taking.
Hate, you know, when you see a commission holding $31,600 from somebody, like, that sounds like a lot. And it is a lot. I mean, it's a lot of money.
It is a lot.
But bottom line is, and I know that the fan took – responsibility, said, look, I'm the one that messed up. I shouldn't have flipped him off. I shouldn't have done it. But, like, bro, you can't go after the fans. Like, you
can't.
People
get flipped off nonstop when they walk out.
100%.
A lot worse than that.
Yep.
A lot worse than that.
100%.
People get their shit stolen, their gear stolen off the top of their head. That's like assault. Flipping you off or whatever. Even if they flipped you off and said, you are the world's worst piece of shit, you can't fucking swing on him,
yeah.
dude. He jeopardized the event. He jeopardized the organization. He jeopardized his
can't
own career. So, yeah, you deserve the fine.
And look, the fan is a jackass, too. Like,
oh, of course
the fan's
a jackass.
I was like, as a fan.
The other fans should have gave him shit.
Oh,
you know,
because
let the fans do that.
Look, man, these guys, what they're about to do, they're going in there. They're in battle mode. You know what I mean? And so, like, on the one hand, I feel bad. Like, I think Chris Rock used to have a bit where he was, like, talking about, like, people out in wildlife. Like, oh, the lion went
crazy.
Everyone
used to talk about people's wives?
Who, Chris Rock? Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then
yeah, I remember
his wife's name out your mouth.
Yeah, and then he did a commercial for Power Slap. Okay. Like, but no, he used to have a bit where I think he was talking about, like,
did he really?
What?
Did he do a Power Slap?
No.
Oh,
just K. I mean,
I was like, how did I miss this?
No,
I'm
that
Googling
been amazing.
It right now.
Oh. How did Dana not get on that, man? That would have been the perfect crossover. But no, he used to have a bit. I think it was Chris Rock, a bit like, you know, the lion went crazy. Like, no, the lion went lion. Like, what were you doing out there? So it's like, if you're in the stands and you're going to mess with a fighter who's about to go into a cage and get into a fist fight, don't be surprised if they come at you. But if you're that cage fighter, you cannot attack somebody in the stands.
Yep.
Like, that is rule number one. You can't
do
that.
Think what would happen. Say that was. You know, granted, you know, take the whole, even just that the fact the fighter actually tried to engage this guy. Say it was Max Holloway or Justin Gaethje, somebody very beloved, or, you know, Jorge Masvidal in Miami, and some fan does some shit like that. The crowd right there will beat the shit out of him.
You're right.
Like, that whoever that fan was lucky that there wasn't a large fan base for that for Sarukian right there that didn't beat that.
Yeah.
We've seen some of the fans of
even
some
if
of
it
these,
had just been Charles Oliveira, even if you just it had been his opponent.
I mean, it's ridiculous.
It's
I
just
mean,
like people don't like Armin, which I don't even know why people don't
I
like
know.
Armin. By the way, like what was he getting?
Well, this certainly didn't help his case. This certainly didn't.
I like Armin a lot.
Yes.
And he's really good, exciting. Like, was he only getting booed on Fight Week as bad as he was because he was fighting Charles Oliveira?
I had to be, right? Because,
I mean,
when people
Armin's
were.
Armin's never even said so much for you to, like, not like him.
Well, I think, you know, even before Charles, when he did, like, when he won, and then, the champ has a name, you know, where he became, like, a fucking great meme himself, you know, I think people just became endeared with Charles. Like, I think at first they were like, we don't really know this guy. We don't know. And then we started seeing his personality. And they're like, holy hell, this guy's a badass
and
fighter.
The teeth.
And he's got the perfect teeth ever. And they're just like, that's my dude.
What's the brightest shade of white you got?
How dare this?
Brighter.
He's like, Yanni.
Brighter.
I want just right below Yanni level. Right below. But pretty darn close. He's like, I want to have my mouth closed and you not see my teeth.
I love how often when you watch the show on Fight Pass, Yanni like winks at the camera. It's hilarious.
Does he?
Oh my God. I love it. He cracks me up every time.
I just can't not smile when I see Yanni because I'm just like, this dude, he's like a character.
He's a character.
He is literally a character. we got way off topic on that. So Armin, I mean, he's lucky that it could have been much worse.
Yeah.
So, I mean, good for him that he had a hell of a paycheck because, when I saw that amount, I was like, oh, my gosh, what percentage is that,
20%.
So good for him. I'm a big one. But, he should, if anything, take it and just be like, sorry, I understand that was really, really stupid and be grateful that it's only 20%.
Yep.
They could have did a lot worse than that. They could have easily said, because the fact if he would have hit him, I guarantee if he would have made contact and hit the fan, I guarantee he wouldn't have got paid at all.
Yeah.
They would have held it all.
100%.
They would have held it all. So he's lucky they didn't give him 50% because, the 20%
right.
was them being favorable.
Yep.
They easily could have took more. So I would say if I was him, I would be apologetic and say, yes, I'm sorry, be on that call. Even though it seems like the amount's already done or whatever, but the fact that be on that call, but even that, like how they can't make the decisions and just why they keep delaying the stuff, it just makes me feel like they have nothing else to put on the agenda. It's just so infuriating. Where instead of, okay, well, let's just approve this next group of referees that we know we're already going to say yes to. And I know when we get here, we're going to go through
and make it look like
we're going to automatically approve items 1 through 38. it's just like, come on. But yeah, so that's my take. Diego, I hated that moment. I'm glad props to D-Dub for stepping up and taking that because the kid just wanted to come celebrate with his boss. Severino, I feel bad for the kid, but I hope he can get back in there. I think he can rebuild himself. Will we ever see him in the UFC again? It's quite possible we never do.
Yep.
But if he does his work, I'm sure we'll see him somewhere, and hopefully somebody makes something from him so he can make something for his life. Because you saw the pain in his eyes. You saw how bad that really hurt. And Sarukian, I mean, he's going to keep being a beast. You can't swing at a fan no matter what they effing do to you.
Gotta let it go. Gotta let it go.
Let the security handle it.
They will.
Or your crowd.
All right. Unbeknownst to you, I have two names, and I would like for you to pick one that you want to discuss next. First up, UFC featherweight champion Ilia Topuria.
Okay.
Next up, UFC Hall of Famer Ronda Rousey.
Ooh. Let's go Rousey.
All right. I posted the other night on Twitter.
Did you get a bunch of heat on that?
No, not a lot. To be honest with you, I didn't even try to read the comments that much because I was afraid. First of all, let me just say, I have so much respect for Jimmy Smith as a person, as an analyst, as a commentator. The dude is a lifelong martial artist. He is as passionate about the game as we are, as anybody I know. And I hesitated to even post a reply or a rebuttal simply because my respect level for him is so high, right?
I certainly didn't read it like as a rebuttal. I just read it as a part of the conversation.
Well, I'm glad you feel that way because that's what I meant for it to be. And I was hesitant to post anything at all because my respect level for him is so high that I didn't want him or anyone else to think that I was trying to insult what he was saying or to call him a liar or to anything along those lines.
Yeah, now, I certainly didn't read it. Well, that's interesting you say that because now I'm like, I hope mine didn't because I certainly wasn't because I was trying to have conversations.
Yeah, but I am not a fan of – I feel like everybody's trying to rewrite history about who Ronda Rousey was and, as a person, I think the comments are well seen at this point. Jimmy Smith said that – and I will point out that Jimmy Smith in his quote says – this is what I was told. So he did not say that this is what he observed on his own.
Yep.
He said, this is what I was told.
Yep.
And it makes me wonder if, did he hear it from one person in particular that maybe had some beef with Ronda? And it's possible. I mean, I did think maybe, you know, and that's why I simply pointed out maybe this was around the WWE time, because I have no idea what she was like behind the scenes at WWE. I've never been behind the scenes at WWE. I didn't know anybody in WWE until CM Punk went over there. I know nothing about that business, about that industry, about anything that happens there. Well, I take that back. I know some people have worked there over the years, but no, I know nothing about that. I could see some people around the time of the Amanda Nunes fight, but this is what I would say if anybody was pissed off at Ronda around the Amanda Nunes fight, it must have been somebody new to the UFC at that time who hadn't worked with her previously.
Yeah.
Because anybody that worked with her previously on her rise would understand how much she did, how, I mean, she was pushed to do everything and how she did it, how she, I mean, shouldered a big load of the promotion for the entire company at a time. And did so with, you know, maybe some stress along the way, but a smile along the way. So, you know, I hate the fact that this is what it's come to, and that I feel like everybody's trying to say that, you know what, nobody likes Ronda Rousey now, and nobody ever did.
Yeah.
And I hate that, because that is not what I experienced, and that's why I felt the need to post them. I actually saw Aunt Evans actually posted something to that as well. Yep. I know that you replied to it as well. And so I don't know. If anybody wants to take issue with Ronda and the way that her tenure ended and all those. But I will say, you know, I do think it was a mistake that she didn't come talk to the media after the Holly Holm loss. But I do think it would have been better served for her to come talk to us around the time of the Amanda Nunes fight. But I always pointed out, and if you'll go back, I pointed it out then, these people don't owe us anything. They don't owe us anything. Now, you can say, well, because they didn't show up, I don't like them. And that's fine. But I would just say that, man, I feel like everybody's just trying to wash away everything that she did and say that from day one, nobody liked her and everybody hated her. That's not the case.
Yeah, and that's how I think it sort of came across. And I'm the same with you. I respect Jimmy. I like Jimmy. I'm trying to think. I think he was there. I don't know if he came after I was there. I'm trying to think of what his tenure was, but everything that I've always seen of him, watching him over the years, he's always been, you know, he knows his shit. You know, he's really, really fun to watch. But when I was when I was hearing this, and then I heard the same thing that you did when he said, "Well, the people told me this," and I was like, "Okay, so he hasn't had these interactions himself. He's taking somebody else's word for it." And what I will say is, at the end of Ronda's time, she might have been an absolute beast to deal with.
Right.
She might have been the worst person that was just like, oh, my goodness, another interview. Like, oh, just get in there and let's do this.
Because I don't think she did anything around the news. I know she didn't come speak to us, but did she even – she didn't do embedded. She did nothing.
Shit. You know, they really did much. So, I mean, maybe it was the crew that was tasked to try to follow her and that kept getting shut down.
That's what I'm thinking. Maybe, but if it was anybody that was around – and that's what kind of I started thinking after. Maybe it's somebody that was supposed to shoot her during the Nunes fight and they said, like, yeah, she'll be available, and then she wasn't. You know what I mean? And whatever. And I could understand that there would be frustration. But if that same crew was the same crew that had dealt with her in all the previous times, I think they would kind of understand that, like, well, she's just in a place right now. Yeah. You know what I mean? So, yeah.
And I mean, and just, like, when she first came over, when she first was signed and she came over after Strikeforce time, she was an absolute dream. She was a doll. She used to hug me when I'd walk in and I'd see her and she'd be like, oh, hey, would she ever remember my name? No, I doubt it. But we saw each other from time to time, you know, when we go do these shoots. So it was just like, oh, hey, whatever, give a hug. And I was like, oh, man. She's like, I know they're really high on this woman. And I was always surprised that she was just very, very warm and giving or whatever. But so we did the Shark promo shoot. We did where we put her up on the ride and we shot her up on the stratosphere. We did all this crazy shit. And I remember going on media tours where it was literally interview after interview after interview. I'd have to put a mic on her and she'd take a satellite call from this agency, satellite call on this one. And then we'd do different media tours. We'd go place to place to place. She was awesome. She was always she was great. She was nice to me. But this was very, very early on. I mean, like, it was all still new. But I remember thinking in the back of my head that I was tired working stuff. let alone have the camera and have to be this personality dealing with people. And so I remember thinking, like, when I saw the load, I admired what she was able to do, and she did it with a smile for half the stuff. I remember cutting some footage. There's some promo stuff. I remember I cut one once, and it was just – it was like some – I used some outtakes of some of the other interviews and stuff that I saw, and you would just see, like, the smile and the laughing, the joy, while you knew that this was probably a long day and a long shoot. But I remember just thinking, like, her smile was one of the things that stuck out for me, because I was just like – I didn't really know who she was, but I was like – you could tell her personality was just like beaming through, mm-hmm. and you saw the potential of what she was going to become, like, on her rise. So it was kind of neat for me seeing her, because I was like, man, she's becoming this huge face of the crowd or face of the sport, women's sport. But to me, she was great. Yep. She was very warm, very nice. And some might say, well, she didn't remember your name. Dana doesn't even fucking remember I worked for him. I worked for the dude for 4 fucking years. I was either at the most, maybe at one time, guy or buddy or hey, you. You know, if I saw him now and walked up like, hey, Dana, you ever remember, you know, chatting with me? He'd be like, no. You ever remember seeing me in the edit truck? No. Like, I don't – like, that doesn't bother me. But you remember those interactions that you have with people.
Yep.
And for me, she was great at that time. But that being said, after the thousands and thousands of – interviews that she did, and after the thousands and thousands, eventually where it started getting to the point where people started saying she was this one trick pony and maybe blah 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 blah, at some point I don't doubt that her personality maybe changed. Maybe she did become a little bit more short with some of the people, but mm-hmm. I never saw bullying. I never saw this, like, picking on, like, the camera people. And maybe that wasn't how he was sort of expressing it, but it came off like he was trying to say that she was always sort of like belittling these other people. And I just personally, and from the other staffers that I worked with that interact with her, they didn't have those experiences. But I'm not saying that 100% it didn't happen at some point. Like,
yep,
we've seen how people change with after popularity and after giving their millionth autograph, how eventually signing for another fan is just like pulling nails down a chalkboard.
Yep.
And at one point it used to be the greatest thing of your day. You know, shit changes. So I'm not going to – I don't doubt that at some point she did become absolutely a beast. I just wanted – and my whole part of just replying to what I thought was just a conversation about it was just that you can – hey, just count me on the side of, like, I didn't have any.
Yeah.
Before everybody starts saying everybody, every camera, every interviewer hated her, that's not true. Yep. I was on the opposite side.
That's good. I appreciate that. Yeah, I just want to clarify that. I wanted to do one of two things, which was, one, to clarify that – I did not mean in any way, shape, or form to make it seem that I was minimizing or belittling anything that was said in there, right? Because I have such respect for Jimmy as a person and as an analyst. But I just also don't want – I have a lot of respect for Rhonda as well, and I don't want to see people try to just rewrite the legacy, especially if they weren't there at the time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And sometimes people
like
embellish
that.
Shit.
Yeah.
So maybe the people that are talking with them make it sound a little bit worse than it is, just to make it sound more fantastic when you're talking to somebody.
Right.
Because when anybody's relaying the story, who knows? The person might have just made it seem a little bit worse than what it actually was.
That's what I wonder. I mean,
and then somebody's taking that, well, this is what I'm hearing, and I don't doubt that what he was told, but who knows what the other person was really sort of spewing out, you know? You never know.
Yeah, did it come from one person that had a bad experience, and you trust that person a lot, but then you come to find out, well, it was only one day and one experience.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, oh,
who knows?
So,
but yeah, I'm sure she was no angel, but you know, she had her good moments.
she did, and you can't take away what she had. All right, Ilya Topuria, I'm scratching my head here, man. I'm still trying to figure. This dude is obviously the dude is amazing, man. An incredible fighter. I think we've both been fans of him on the way up, blown away by his performance to win the title. The dude clearly is resonating huge in Spain. I mean, gosh. So
apparently these soccer fans like him.
Oh, I mean, come on, man. I mean, to
fans.
See to, you know how much I love soccer, and so for me, like, I understand the power of Real Madrid aligning themselves with you. You know what I mean?
That's,
like,
that's huge.
That is massive. So
huge.
So I'm a fan of the guy. And I will say this, I have never marketed myself in such a way that these athletes have to do so. But I'm just scratching my head, man. Like, we're back now. Because Ilya came out and was like, I don't want these guys. I want these new names. And I was like, hold on, man. Like, that's not – like, what? You got to fight these guys. You got to fight Holloway. And you got to fight – you know, Volkanovski deserves a rematch. You know, and then he kind of came around and was like, you know what? Okay. you know, it, kind of in the same way that Sean O'Malley did, right? Remember when Sean O'Malley was like, I'm going up to fight Topuria, and everybody was like, whoa, you got Merab Dvalishvili yeah. right here. And Sean was like, you know what?
You're right.
I got to fight Merab first, right? And so Ilya, same thing. Ilya's like, man, I'm not even trying to mess with these clowns. They've been around here forever. And then, you know, everybody's like, well, hold on, bro. We have a lot of respect for Alexander Volkanovski, and he kind of deserves a rematch. Yeah. And then Max Holloway goes out and does what he does against Justin Gaethje. And then you got to be like, okay, hold on. If Volkanovski's not ready to go right now, this guy over here looks like he's doing pretty good. You know
he's
what
got
I mean?
A belt I want too.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, come on. So there's two fights. And then I see Ilya coming out and saying that, you know what, man, I kind of want that Brian Ortega matchup. I think that's the one that makes sense. Now, listen, I'm a big fan of Brian Ortega too.
100%.
But Brian, he came out and said, because Brian Ortega is always ready to fight. I love some T-City, but Brian Ortega has not always been ready to fight. He's had injuries and things that he's been dealing with.
There
was that's
a point
like,
where we didn't see him
right?
forever.
Ortega? Yeah. I mean, that was like Yair. We love Yair Rodriguez, but nobody ever says, Yair's that anybody, anytime, anywhere kind of guy, right? Like, no. So it's like I appreciate the map, but I'm just trying to understand – the logic, because, again, I'm not doubting this man as a fighter. He's phenomenal. I'm not doubting the man as a marketer, right? Because, like, man, he's got the look, bro. He's got – man, he's GQ, bro. He could roll right in and, you know, kick Luke Rockhold off the pages of those, you know, and just roll right in. He's got the look. So I love – but I'm
I
just –
I don't know. That might be a stretch.
Okay.
Rockhold was a pretty darn good-looking man.
Luke Rockhold was a handsome man. Cockhold. all right, but do you see some marketing genius in here? Because I feel like it's a swing and a miss. I feel like the fans are like, it looks like you're trying to duck the two toughest dudes in the division. Now, granted,
I mean, he's not
you just starch one of them, so you're not ducking him.
Yeah.
But it looks like the two guys that clearly have the top case to fight you, you're saying you don't want to fight them. I don't get it.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
I mean, we've certainly have seen guys in the past, champs, you know, want to pick their fights. And so I can't fault him for that, you know, trying to pick the best case fight
for
him. You know, like, that's going to happen.
I said it with Sean O'Malley. When Sean O'Malley said, I want to go up and fight Topuria, right?
Yeah.
I said it. I understand. He thinks that will make more money than him fighting Merab.
And you
know what?
And he doesn't put his belt on the line.
Exactly. And he has a chance to be champ, right? So, like, I understand all those. Like, hey, I think I can make more money. I could also make history. I want to go do that. But that's what I don't – this isn't that.
Yeah.
This is your first title defense. Your first title defense against – by the way, if you want to be considered – like, when we used to get in the argument about who's the greatest featherweight of all time, right? You'd have to look at Max Holloway and be like, well, all the guys in the argument, he beat him until Volkanovski came along. Yeah. You know what I mean? So it's like –
I was going to say, Ortega wasn't in that list.
Yeah, you know what? And I love me some T-City. Love me some T-City. It'd be a great fight.
Boy, his last fight was awesome.
Amazing.
Yeah.
I just don't – I'm not buying the logic. I can't sign off on it. Like I said, with Sean O'Malley, I was like, get what he's doing here. I still think he should fight Merab, and now that's going to happen. Here, I just don't even get what he's doing. It's like those are the – because, again – If we're talking about money, all right. Now we're not even talking about legacy. We're talking about money. That's it. This is prize fighting at the end of the day. I'm sorry, but Topuria versus T-City, Topuria versus Yair, they're gonna do good. But you know what's gonna do better? Topuria versus Max.
Yeah.
Max is up here right now, dude. And you know what? He doesn't.
Max and Volk are the only options.
And Volk,
Volk
is
to
so popular.
Money.
That's the real money.
Like if you go to Spain. And you have an arena, you want the absolute biggest name of a star that can fill it. T-City, like we said, love T-City. Mm-hmm. Love Yair. They're not the ones to do it.
It's those guys.
It's those two. Has to be those two. Because they have people that go – everybody – Max is, like, beloved worldwide. Yep. They don't care. You could go put it in Russia and Max fight
100%.
Anybody. And, like, the Russian fans are going to get behind it. And same with Volk. I mean, one, he's going to be able to bring people over because, I mean, their international crowd just goes wherever – but those are the exciting fights.
Yes.
Those are the fights that have meaning behind it. Like, the other ones, I understand what he's trying to do, but if he can say that he thinks those are bigger money fights with a straight face, he's just a good actor. Because that's a lie.
Like, if he just said, listen, I love those guys. I got it. But I tell you what, I need to wait until International Fight Week because I think Conor is going to starch that I think he's going to get a first round knockout that night, right? And then I want to go up to 55 or 70, I guess. I don't know. You know what I mean? I think after he starts as Chandler, I want to go to 55 or 70, and I want to face Connor. Now, again, I would still say
Connor's never going to be at 55.
Yeah,
bro.
I guess.
170 is
going
to be a
stretch. I'm going up to middleweight to face Connor.
170 is going to be a stretch.
It's
going to
be a stretch. So, but I would give him a pass on that. I would give him a pass on that.
Yep.
Because you're calling out Connor, and we get it. Connor's the biggest money
in the
game. Can
I put a prediction already?
Let's hear it.
It's going to be a bantamweight. It's going to be a middleweight. They're going to end up having to make a catchweight because there's no way Connor's going to make 170.
Doing like a Paulo Costa.
They're going to do fight week change. They're going to do a fight week change, and they'll make it happen. And Michael, of course, Chandler's going to agree to it, but I guarantee that fight more than likely is going to happen at 185.
All right,
is my guess.
Note that down.
Put that down, folks.
I can see.
There's
it. He's
no
looking. He's looking
way.
Leaner. He's looking leaner.
Yeah, he's looking like he'd probably want 200, maybe 2-ish, 205. Like, bro has been super thick, man, lately. Like,
boy,
and he's just jacked. He's just muscle. He has to lose muscle to get down to 170, and he hasn't done that part.
Let me say, I like that. That's an out there prediction, right? But it'd be hell of a gamesmanship, right? Because listen, Connor could be like,
because it's not for anything.
Well, I was gonna say, and if Connor knows, you're 100% right. There's no belt on the
line.
There's no belt.
They can change it.
And if Connor knows,
all they have to do is do it in advance.
If Connor knows, I'm never gonna make 70. He's like, but I know the week of the fight, I'm gonna ask it to 85, so he can tailor everything to 85, right? Meanwhile, Chandler's tailoring everything to 70
to 170,
and then Connor can come in on Tuesday of fight week and be like, look, I'm not gonna make this,
even if it's the week before,
right? And what's Chandler gonna say? Because Connor can be like, I'm sorry, you've been holding out for me all this time. Do you need this fight? Because if you don't, maybe you don't need this fight. Because I definitely don't. The check that they write me, I might Floyd Mayweather and never even cash it. I might just walk around with that check in my hand and never even cash it.
Yep.
But I bet you probably need a fight, don't you?
Yep. And he would agree it. It's crazy, but I believe
it's crazy,
I believe
but it's not impossible.
It just feels so much like who ever thought that 170.
It's not quite a tinfoil hat. It's like. You know, maybe like a tinfoil
wristband
or something.
It's a Ken Foyle
hat. He put on his Ken Foyle hat.
Bro, he was never planning on making – my heart tells me he was never planning on making 170, and he knows he can't make 170. Not anywhere near that body frame that he has. He's just way too thick.
All right.
He's way too
thick. That's a conspiracy theory but for you. Conspiracy theory. You like
it? It's a conspiracy. The conspiracy theory of the day. Conor McGregor.
All right, so who do you want?
Fight week.
Who do you want? All right, so everybody's healthy. Everybody's ready to go. You can make the call. Do you want to see Ilya Volk too, or do you want to see Ilya Max?
I mean, I love Volk. If Volk wants that, I'd rather Volk get it.
Yeah.
But Max wants that money as well. Max.
I thought I saw Max even said that he assumed Volk should go first.
I think he. That's the way Max
Isn't
is.
Isn't that cool?
That's just fucking Max.
That's Max.
Man, Max is like
you know what that
literally
is?
One of the greatest human beings.
You know what that is? That's a bad motherfucker.
And
a
respect.
Bad motherfucker says, bro, I know what I just did, but you know what?
And it's respect. I think I guarantee he's been there. He's been the champ. He's lost the belt. He understands that a champ that's done what Volk did deserves a rematch on that. You know, I mean, deserves to get his shot back at it. So
I'm with you.
Yeah, I think that's just Max being an incredible individual. But he's also going to say, like, yeah, but if you want to give me that, I'll take it. You know, I'll take it. You know, so It should be Volk, but I wouldn't be sad if it's Max.
I know.
But it should be one of those two. Like, I like Yair, I like Ortega, but, you know, how do you jump those two?
Do you think Dana and Hunter and the matchmakers, you think they're like, how do we have a win-win situation and our champ is, nah.
Yeah.
I want to – let's go outside of that. You think I'd be like, bro.
They're like, bro, you know you get points for the more fights, right?
Sir, we not only have one silver platter, we have two silver platters.
Yeah.
Just pick one. He's like, no, I want that bronze thing over there in the back. I don't want either of these silver platters right here. Like, oh, come on, man. All right. UFC 301, let's just rattle through it real quick. I guess Pantoja Urzik, like I said, I think it's more interesting. I'm kind of intrigued by this because if Urzik comes in here and does this, this will be history.
Dude, it's quite
it will be chaos.
Dude, it's quite possible. You see how big he is when they have their face off?
Oh, my God.
Urzik's huge compared to him.
He's huge.
I'm like, I picked Pantoja, but, dude, after seeing that and just knowing his belief, man, the kid is tough. I think a lot
of people – insane win streak.
Yeah.
Hey, one of those nothing to lose situations.
Nothing to lose.
You know what I mean? Like, the pressure's not even really on him. Like, you're not even in your hometown where you have to worry about selling tickets and talking to the local media and all that. Like, you're just like, bro, I've been given a gift.
He's living his best life. He's down there doing the tourist things. He's risking his life at the same time. He doesn't care. He's just out there training at all hours.
So staff picks, we both went Pantoja.
I went Pantoja, but Ursic. Boy, I'm on the fence of switching it again. I know that Matt would kill me if I did it, but
shout out to Erickson.
Dude. I think I'm gonna roll Pantoja, but man, Pantoja looked human in that last one, and he looked beatable. So I would not be surprised.
This is one of those fights.
We have had a few people on staff that did pick Ursic. Yeah.
This is one of those fights. If you're telling me, John, I just can't justify spending $80 for it, man. Things, I get it, man. The economy's tough right now. People are hurting. And if you're like, John, I swear I'm a hardcore MMA fan, but I just can't get the $80 together. I'm like, hey, keep your hardcore card, bro. You're good. You know what I mean? Like, you're good. I got you.
Well, we know we have times
are tough right now.
We saw the guys commenting on the channel, so there's some that actually do watch everyone.
Appreciate everybody over at patreon.com/TheMMARoadshow for chiming in. I'm going to be spending some more time over there, and we got some plans. We're talking about it. We'll get into all that. But all right.
Co-main is going to be dope.
Dude. By the way, they had a little spirited face-off today at the media day. I think people –
I think
that was
both
a little
guys,
headline
both guys
grabby.
Just,
I think that was a little clickbaity.
I mean, both guys walk forward and both guys just sort of put their head down. I mean, like, Jonathan walked in. I don't think Jonathan walked meant to get his face, and I don't think Aldo meant to really go, but
I just think it was two
guys. They just happened to close the space really, really quickly. Both of them were sort of walking
forward.
And
then they're like, we're not.
And then their heads touch, and then they're not backing down.
I can't remember
if I'd ever seen Martinez do that.
We haven't seen a lot of – he hasn't been in a lot of high profile where they're having media day face-offs.
But anytime. No, we've had face-offs at weigh-ins before, and I can't think if I've ever seen him or even, you know, ceremonies or anything. I'm like, when have I seen him get in somebody's face? And I can't think of any time.
Can't either. That might
happened.
Be proven wrong, but
and
I can't either.
And I don't think this was just like an alternate. I mean, one, I will tell you, the media there and the whole interactions with the fighters, the Brazilian fighters were so loose. They felt like they were in definitely their home field. And so he might have been buoyed up a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, the fact about the room was literally there for him. I mean, I was watching one of the guys that happened to be putting the stream on to Twitch, and I was watching it, and literally the media, what you could see in the background, were taking their cameras out during the interview to snap photos of Aldo while the media day was going on, because you could tell that it was just that big of a moment for them to have their hero come back.
He's a
huge legend. So for him coming walking back in there, he's pumped up by it. And I actually and it's the same thing with why I picked Pantoja. I have a hard time picking against Brazilians in Brazil. They just got this crazy extra bonus factor somehow. They just fight better than ever. It's just totally different. And so I picked Aldo in this one.
I like it.
You know, but when I saw the two opposite, Aldo looked a little bit better. I didn't like when I saw a lot of the stuff on the embedded. You could definitely see the time away.
Yeah.
I felt like
look, he's taken 3 boxing matches in the time away, so he's been training.
But boxing's different.
No, boxing's different, but I'm saying at least it's not like, well, he was on the couch.
And even that was
a
little while ago. I mean, like, I just feel like, man, I just hope that at the end of the first round, we're not already starting to see, like, a gassed Aldo. You know,
it sucks because I'm so happy. Like, I am a huge Jose Aldo fan, and like I said, my biggest regret in not going down this week was not, other than beers on the beach, is not being there for a Jose Aldo fight.
Maybe even more boxing.
But Jonathan Martinez, you know, I'm a huge Jonathan Martinez fan. Like, I love
that
guy.
He was back to
too.
His really short interviews on the media days. I was like, oh, this crowd. I was like, I can't wait to see how they deal with it. And he was trying.
He's getting more and more comfortable.
Know? Yeah, he was trying.
Bogdan Guskov makes the quick turnaround to take on Vitor Petrino. No, I'm just kidding.
I see what you did there.
See what I did there. I had to play into it. It's funny. Anthony Smith. Listen, man, Vitor Petrino looks like the real deal to me, and Anthony Smith is a gangster who will fight anybody, anytime, anywhere. I think he understands that he's the – I wouldn't say the B side of the assignment. He's certainly the A side here, but he's the dude that's being forced to go on the road against the stud Brazilian who looks like he's, you know, destined to be big things in the division. This is a tough assignment. My heart will forever be pulling with Anthony Smith.
Sure.
But – I but would pick Vitor Petrino here.
Yeah, I mean, if the fight stays standing and Anthony tries to make this a striking match, he's going to lose.
Mm-hmm.
If he's able to make it a grappling match, then I think Anthony's got a great chance of pulling off that victory. But I just think Petrino is just – he's a beast, man. He has definitely the potential of being a future champ at some point.
Yep.
You know. But, yeah, I love Anthony, man. He's a great, great dude. He's great at, you know, what he does outside of the ring when he's doing his commentary and, you know, and the other stuff. But this is a tough matchup.
It is.
It's a tough, tough matchup.
Boy, I'll tell you what. But it's funny because, like, Michelle Pereira, Ihor Portería, Paul Craig versus Cowboy Ohio. Obviously, I'm a huge Paul Craig fan as well. We'll forever remember our airport interaction with him, yeah, which is hilarious. But I just love his interviews and I love his fighting style. But Michelle Pereira and Cowboy Ohio are both huge favorites in each of those matchups.
Yeah.
And that just kind of speaks to what you said about the way Brazilians have. Like,
yeah, there I can lean be Brazil some, in that one as well.
I lean Brazil in both those matchups. And I like Paul Craig a lot, but I think Cowboy Ohio can just match him where he's good at, you know, on the ground, and then I think he's a little bit better on the feet. So there could be some real Brazilian momentum going into those featured fights, you, yeah, know, with Vitor Petrino, with Jose Aldo, you know, with Pantoja as well. So I think it's gonna be a fun night. I mean, I look up and down the card, and I think there's some matchups on here. They're gonna be fun. I mean,
I didn't go all Brazilian because you mentioned the Brito one. I actually went Shore in that fight.
Oh, I just been on the main card. I mean, on the main card. Yeah, not all the way down. Yeah, Jack Shore. That's a good one.
I did pick Shore, but I want to say the rest of that. I picked Lucindo to be. Did you see the age difference between those two? It's like 38 and 22.
Oh my God,
16 year age gap. I think
crazy.
I'm saying that right for Carolina. I think I went Brenner. And I think I went Silva.
Yeah.
I can't remember if I went. I don't think I went Gomez there at the end, but.
Should be fun.
It's going to be fun.
This is going to be a good card. It's going to be fun. The atmosphere in Brazil is always fun. I miss I won't be there. The Uvai Moreira chance will be in full effect, I'm sure.
Miss the sunset, the sunrise afterwards, but I don't miss the stress of trying to get out of the venue and get back to the hotel and feeling safe at the end of the night. When everybody leaves, you walk out of the media room and you're like, there's nobody around. There's no taxi.
Please tell
no
me there's a bus left.
You're like, please.
Please tell me there's a bus left.
How many times it's like, UFC, can we please just, whatever staff's there, can we just please hop on the shuttle? Can we just go? Because nobody's taking our calls. No cars are outside.
No fala português.
No fala português.
All right, listen. I totally understand if you're not willing to plop down the $80 this weekend, but I do think it's going to be a good card. We will certainly be watching. I will be recapping it on the and a half episode or at patreon.com/TheMMARoadshow. So we appreciate everybody that supports us over there. For as little as $3 a month, you can help us out and help support the show. So if you could consider that and have it in your budget right now, I understand if you don't. The world is crazy right now, but we appreciate anybody that does and appreciate giving us the chance. But more than anything, we just appreciate you supporting us in any way that you do. Rate us, review us, recommend us, whatever you can do. But, you know, bottom line, thanks for listening.